Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this, our last broadcast of the winter of 2021. I'm sure all of you are glad to see it go. It was a rough one. Actually, however, the weather wasn't too bad here in my area of the woods in Boston, Massachusetts. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you live from the Hub at 11 p.m. on March the 7th, 2021. So the spring season starts this year on March 20th. So get ready for a little better weather, hopefully. You never know. I don't count the winter out until around May. I remember one time seeing snow on Mother's Day, which is in May. But anyway, the calendar's ticking away. Lots of things happening. And we're going to talk about some of them tonight. I have the chat room open, and I'm going to give you the call-in number if you want to get on the show, and I'll treat you very nice. And you can express your views. You don't have to talk about what we're what I'm discussing, but just keep everything in good form. So the call-in number is 914-803-4379, 914-803-4379, and if you call in, just give me your first name and the city and state you're calling from, or if you're outside the country, the city and country you're calling from. The temperature at air time is 32 degrees, rated freezing. So how's everything going? I hope you had a good 2 weeks. We're in the tax season now. I think it was on February 12th when the IRS officially began accepting electronically filed returns. I'm not sure if any professional preparers file returns manually, maybe in some isolated cases, but frankly everybody in the business now, I believe, is doing it electronically. So get your papers together right now. The deadline is still April the 15th. However, it may change. They may extend it like they did last year to July 15th. But if you can't get it done by April 15th, just file for an extension till that will take you to October the 15th. But it's not an extension to pay, just an extension to file. And we'll have a show on that, at least one show, maybe more, on tax issues that you might want to talk about. And I see the president's tax returns is in the news again. We'll be following that for you. Mostly the case in New York progressing, not on the other issue that was, when he was running for president, was an issue for, as a policy of most candidates, was to release their tax returns, and it kept becoming an issue in the campaign. but he never has released them. But in New York, I guess he has to release them for some other reasons. And as I say, we'll keep you posted. So again, give me a call, 914-803-4379. Now I'm going to open the show again, as usual, with the latest on the coronavirus pandemic, now commonly referred to as COVID-19. Total infected on the global scale is 117,322,434, and that's up from 111,000, about 112,000. The active cases globally is 21,871,762, and that's I'm showing that as being down. I don't know. I guess they can go down, yeah. The active cases have gone down from 22,157,206. So that's a good sign. Maybe that's because of the vaccine is solving some of those issues. The number of deaths globally is 603,276, and that's up from 2,477,819, and the recovered globally 92,847,896, and that also is up from about 87 million. So the figures seem to be somewhat running steadily and every 2 weeks as I release them. And I do get these on Worldometer's site, which I'll give it to you now. You can check this out on your own time. www.worldometers.info/coronavirus. On the United States level, the total infected is 29,687,228, and that's up from 28,700,000+. Active cases, USA, 8,826,506, and that too is down. From 9,281,100. On the number of deaths, 537,723, and that's up from 511,133, so about 6,000 more. And recovered in the USA, 20,323,005. And that's up from 18,973,190. So the same number of countries that I had 2 weeks ago that have over a million, 21 countries, that hasn't changed. Canada still has not reached the 1 million mark. A lot of people are questioning these statistics as to whether they're cooking the books on them and trying to get them more to be considered to be coronavirus for various reasons. So we should be wary of any figures and try to do our due diligence in determining what the real figures are. And I do have something here to talk about that. Let's see if I can find it. All right, it's a question many have raised is the deaths, but the data being reported properly. And I did some research and I come up with this information that through the 48th week of 2020, the CDC reports that 2,877,601 people have died. This is in the USA. As I read to you tonight, it's let's see, this is the worldwide figures, I'm sorry. So 2,877,601. And the same point in 2018, the number was 2,606,928. And in 2019, it was 2,614,950. The number of deaths to this point in 2020 is at least 260,000 greater than either of the past 2 years. But that number is an underestimate because the CDC publishes data based on the number of death certificates it has received, since it can take a couple of weeks for all death certificates to be recorded. It has received, since it can take a couple of weeks, since it can take a couple of weeks for all death certificates to be recorded, the number for the last 2 weeks at least will increase as time goes by if the last 2 weeks produce a similar number of deaths as the weeks before. The margin to this point will actually be close to 310,000. So what it's basically saying is that there are more deaths now than in the past 2 years, and they attributed pretty much to the pandemic. There's another way to see the effect of COVID-19 is that more people have already died this year than did the entirety of either 2018 or 2019. There were 2,831,836 deaths in all of 2018 and 2,845,793 in all of 2019. So, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, the population has increased, this is of the United States now, has increased by 48.73% over the last 5 years. The increase in deaths to this point in 2020 is 10%, far outpacing population growth. So, you can do your own research on the figures, but it's a serious pandemic and there are many deaths, but the main thing is to don't get overwhelmed by it. Just trust in God and pray for His care over you, and I think you'll come out of it pretty solid. The vaccines, of course, have taken place now, and there are a lot of questions on those, so we'll have to see how that works. More and more people are getting vaccinated. And there are some stories coming out that are not positive. By the way, that population figure has increased by 0.48 to 0.75% over the last 5 years. And the increase in deaths in 2020 is 10%, far outpacing the population growth. So more and more people are dying than we are increasing the population. So let's talk some more about that as the days go by. Hopefully we'll see the end to the COVID, but I wouldn't bet on it at this point. I think it is almost being used for political purposes, or either monetary to get money to people that benefit financially from these issues. You know, you never let a good crisis go to waste type of thinking. But again, just don't get too distressed over it. All right, well, I'm going to talk a little about the COVID relief. COVID 19 relief bill that is passed in the Senate by a vote of 50-49. So let me get some of that information for you. COVID relief bill is for $1.9 trillion. And it really is taking a lot of the money. We're going deeper in debt over it. And we certainly should be concerned about it. And hopefully we will deal with these financial issues, but it's not a good situation, ladies and gentlemen. Let me see if I can find that. And the House has passed the bill. The actual Senate has passed the bill. Democrats push the $1.9 trillion COVID bill through the Senate on a party-line vote. It was, the Senate is evenly divided 50-50, and we see that the vice president can break any ties. But in this particular case, it was not necessary, as the passage in the Senate was 50-49. There was one Republican senator, Senator Dan Sullivan of Alaska, who was missing from the vote because of a family funeral. So the Democrats did not need Vice President Harris' tie-breaking vote in the normally 50-50 chamber when they vote along party lines, which they seem to be doing more and more. The complete division between the two parties is practically no more bipartisanship to be found. The Republicans broadly supported previously stimulus packages to fight the virus and revive the economy, but with Democrats in charge of the White House and the both chambers, they criticize this bill as too expensive. The country has yet to replace 9.5 million jobs lost since last year, and the White House says it could take years to do so. There was some good news on the jobs front. The U.S. employment added 327,000 jobs in February, but yet to, as I said, to replace the 9.5 million jobs lost since last year. So this is these financial matters are very serious, and I'm going to play you a little clip now from somebody I listen to quite often. He's connected to Peter Schiff. Name is Mike Meharry, and this is what he has to say about some of the finances that we're dealing with. This was on every Friday on his Gold Rep podcast. So here we go.
Before that, speaking of debt, the mainstream barely reported on this at all, but on March 1st, the U.S. national debt eclipsed $28 trillion. And of course, there's no end in sight to the borrowing and spending. It was just last fall that the debt surged above $27 trillion for the first time. In less than 5 months, Uncle Sam added another $1 trillion to its debt load. And get this, in less than 18 months, the U.S. government blew up the debt by $5 trillion. So let's put that into a little bit of perspective. If the Treasury Department billed every U.S. citizen for their share of the national debt, your bill would be $84,827, and every taxpayer would have to fork out $223,000 to settle the national debt. So yeah, the Fed is just going to let interest rates rise, not.
Yep, I tend to agree with Mike on that, and we can expect interest rates to remain low because this debt has to be paid for, and it bears interest. And if interest goes up, we saw what happened a year or so ago when they tried to raise interest rates and the stock market collapsed. So they don't want that to happen, so we can expect to see low interest rates in the foreseeable future. All right, there's some other major legislation besides the COVID-19 bill. By the way, on that bill, I believe the stimulus payment is going to be going out, and that would be $1,400. But there are some, restrictions on it based on your income and other things, but we should be seeing another stimulus check. This would be the third one. There was one in 2020 and one in early 2021, so there should be another one coming probably maybe before tax deadline. $1,400 I'm sure will come in handy, but it still is really only a temporary fix to the problems, the financial problems that people are facing. They don't have a job and they have all the costs of living. And if we see inflation, we will be experiencing more financial headaches. All right, the call-in number again is 914-803-4379. 914-803-4379. Now, there's a couple of other pieces of legislation in the works, really big-ish, big matters that are going to the Senate. One of them is H.R. 1, which is called For the People Act. These have passed the House. That one passed the House 234-193. And the Equality Act, a real misnomer there. Many of us think it's anything but an equality positive. And that has passed the House 224-206. I'm going to be playing a clip from Matt Staver, the founder and lead person on Liberty Council. And you'll be interested to see what he has to say. But let me give you the figures. The Dow Jones closed the week at 31,496. 30. That was up from the previous 2 weeks. The NASDAQ took a big shellacking during the period. It's now at 12,920.15. And the S&P is also down from 2 weeks ago at 3,841.94. And by the way, oil is starting to soar. And that, of course, would show you another feature of inflation. And for those of you that have to buy gasoline or heat your houses, maybe we'll get a break in the home heating costs by oil. Will not be so not be in play in the warmer weather. But you have to drive to work, and of course with most people working at home, you might get a break there too, where you won't be as impacted by the cost of energy and gasoline. But oil is soaring, and that's expected to continue. Now, gold closed the week at $1,700.10 an ounce. Silver at 25.22. Both of those are down from 2 weeks ago. And the fact that the bond market, we're seeing increases in some of the longer-term bonds, and that could be causing this. And maybe people, if they can buy bonds and get a return on their investment, it might impact gold negatively. But many of us still feel that gold is a real bargain. Of course, silver, with the gold-silver ratio so favorable to silver, that would especially be worth looking at. Bitcoin is over 50,000 for one Bitcoin. That's still quite high. I think it was up to the high 50s not too long ago. Just watch your pennies, and my view is to get out of debt. Some debt is good, you know, if you buy a house and it's a good house and you have to live somewhere and the rents are so high, it might make sense. But also, we could see a housing crash if some of these serious financial issues impact housing. We could see a pullback there. So nobody knows the future. Nobody has a crystal ball. Now, the real clear average figures for Biden, approval rate is 55.3. That's up from the previous 2 weeks. And his disapproval is also up, 39.9. I think we're going to start seeing the disapprovals go up and the approval rate come down. But those statistics were from February the 23rd to March the 4th. So, let's go into the more discussion on the two bills that are in the process of being dealt with in the Senate. H.R. 1, the For the People Act, which deals quite a bit with discrimination, and they are basically leaning toward voting changes and pretty much allowing just about very loose policies on voting. You can put in your search engine HR1 for the People's Act and read more about it. It seems like, from what I'm finding, it won't pass the Senate. But you never know, they may find ways to circumvent it and bend the rules somewhat, but let's pray that that does not pass. And the second one is the Equality Act, and that's pretty much an anti-discrimination act. It is very much looked upon unfavorably by the churches and religious organizations. It would force them to do things that violate their religious freedoms. And I'm going to be playing that clip shortly by Matt Stave. As a matter of fact, I think I'll start it now, and then we'll pick up the rest of it in the non-live portion of the show. But the I think we'll hold off on that. I just want to give you the time. And the next show will be on the first show of spring will be on Blog Talk Radio on March 21st, 21. So if you want to get the information on Attorney Matthew Staver, go to Liberty County. www.lc.org, and you can listen to his views on the Equality Act. So thank you very much. Nobody came tonight. I think they were too stressed out with all the issues, but we'll keep with it, and we'll be back on the first show for the spring on March 21st. So God bless you all. See you in 2 weeks. And God bless America. Good night, everyone. Okay, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bostonian, host of The Money Show with the non-live portion of the show, 15 minutes of me talking, so there's no call-ins, and just my views on the issues of the day. And what I want to play is a clip from an interview that Matt Staver had on the Faith versus Culture program, and that was taken in Orlando, Florida recently. The interview runs for about 40 minutes or so. I'm just going to play part of it. And Matt Staver, of course, is the attorney that provides pro bono services to those individuals and organizations that cannot afford the legal costs. So he's doing a great service, and I suggest you stay in touch with him and give him words of encouragement or maybe some financial support. His website is www.lc.org. So I'm going to play a clip of an interview we had with on the subject of the Equality Act. He sees it as a very dangerous act, and as they say, I won't be able to play the whole thing, but I've selected a section of it that I think you will find very helpful in deciding what you want to do on this. He's recommending strongly that you contact your senators. On his website, you can fax. He has fax policies where you can fax the senators to tell them that you're opposed to the H-5 Act or the Equality Act. So let's listen to Matt on that subject. Here we go.
You know, that transitions us to the topic that I want to discuss tonight. And that topic is cancel culture. You're hearing that all over, right? Cancel culture? Yeah, cancel culture is canceling you and me. It's literally canceling our opinions, our beliefs, and eventually they're not just going to cancel books and certain programs. They're going to cancel you and me. They don't want to just tear down statues. They want to tear down every Christian's belief. And so tonight, Matt, I've asked you to come and discuss H.R. 5, which is called the Equality Act. H.R. 5, the Equality Act. It has now passed the House of Representatives in the U.S. Congress and is now before the Senate.
That's right.
This is a very, very dangerous piece of legislation. It's not just about left or right anymore. It's not about blue states, red states. This is literally good versus evil now. They are pushing the boundaries of perversion beyond anything we could ever comprehend. And so we need some people with legal minds to help us. I believe, Pastor Steve, you said that, was it Tuesday morning in prayer, Linda Markowitz said, it's no longer time just to pray. It's time to act now. See, faith without works is dead. So we got to put our faith to work. So, Matt, I'm going to ask you to expound on this H.R. 5 for us.
Yeah, this is an incredible law. It's the most dangerous law.
Yeah.
That I've ever seen come from Congress in American history.
And that's saying a lot.
And here's what it does. It takes LGBT and Q, and I want to talk about that, and abortion, makes it a federal right, and it goes to every corner of our lives. No one will be able to escape. Don't think about this as, oh, it's going to affect the florist or the baker or the candlestick maker. And I'm not any one of those, so it's not going to affect me. It's going to affect everybody. We know what LGBT stand for, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transvestite, which is a person wanting to dress like the opposite sex, or transgender, a person that wants to identify as the opposite sex through even taking hormones of the opposite sex and even surgery to remove healthy body parts like breast and genitalia and so forth. That's transgender. Now, what's the Q? According to the Senate bill, the Q stands for queer. That's their words. I'm not saying it. It's their words. Queer used to be a derogatory term, and now it's a term of pride within the LGBTQ community. Now, what does Q stand for? It is anything in addition to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transvestite, transgender. Now, what is that? Anything in addition to that. We already know what LGBT stands for, what it covers, and that's broad enough. Q is standing for queer, and what queer is all of the sexual philias, and there's 549, nearly 550 of these. I won't even go into them because I used to say that it's everything you could imagine, but it's not everything because you could never imagine what these involve. But here's one that's very clear, and we all know about. It's called pedophilia. That is a paraphilia. That's a deviant sexual paraphilia in which you're sexually attracted to and have sexual relations with minors. And the groups that are pushing pedophilia, they've changed the name euphemistically to be a minor attracted person. They say it's just another sexual orientation, ought to be protected. Q includes pedophilia along with the other 500 and nearly 50 paraphilias. So listen to this. That's what it covers there. It also covers abortion. It makes abortion a federal right across the country. It overrules every state law, which includes informed consent, parental notification, parental consent, doctor qualifications, hospital requirements that you have to be admitted to be able to have a privilege in a hospital to admit people. It overrides viability, ultrasound, waiting periods, every state law that's out there, including, by the way, from fertilization until birth, anything in between, no restriction. Partial birth abortion laws, that's third trimester, dismemberment where you rip and tear in the third trimester, where you literally take a baby in the third or late second trimester, and you grab it, and it's basically, the analogy is, and it's very simple to understand this, because this is what actually happens, taking a forceps, stick it in the woman's uterus, you grab a body part, pull it so that it's tight, and then when it's tight, you tear it. Just like you're ripping off a leg from a turkey during Thanksgiving or a chicken. That's your dismemberment and evacuation kinds of abortion. Those are happening today. This would make it legal across the country, Cheryl. I mean, this not only makes it legal, it overrides every law. Parents would never know that their daughter is getting a chemical or a surgical abortion, and they couldn't object. A father would never be able to know, could never object. And so you would also have to have this federally funded under this law. And listen to this, churches and Christian schools are not exempt for the very first time. It covers churches and Christian schools. And you would have to cover this for your insurance company. You're self-insured. You would have to provide insurance to kill children. You remember Little Sisters of the Poor and Hobby Lobby? Yes. They objected to those forced abortion drugs and devices. They wouldn't have a defense. Why? Because the bill also, listen to this, repeals the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993. Now, let me tell you how radical this
Go
is.
Go into that. Yeah.
Senator Schumer was a sponsor of the 1993 Religious Freedom Restoration Act. It was passed in the House unanimously, with everyone voting in favor. In the Senate, 97-3. And it was signed into law by President Bill Clinton. It was supported on the one hand by the ACLU and Americans United for Separation of Church and State, and on the other hand by Christian Legal Society and Liberty Council. I've never seen a bill supporting religious freedom or any other bill supported by this broad spectrum of coalition of people from all spectrums of political and other ideological beliefs. They came together in 1993 to support and protect religious freedom. This bill says no. You can't use it as a claim or a defense. Churches, sorry, you're done. Religious colleges. What would happen with a non-complying church? Let me tell you how this applies. Obviously, we have moral and biblical reasons why we wouldn't want to discriminate. But let me just look at the law. What you cannot do legally respecting race, you will not be able to do legally respecting anything LGBT and Q, and abortion. So, obviously, biblically and morally, you wouldn't want to have segregated restrooms, right? Even in your church, no question. You don't want to have a, this is a restroom for whites, this is a restroom for African Americans. You know, nobody would do that, but you couldn't legally do it anyway. If you did that, it's discrimination.
Right.
And you would lose your tax exempt status for discriminating.
Correct.
So now a man wants to come and use the woman's restroom, the girl's restroom, the shower, the locker room, wants to go in overnight. You have your church taking your little girls and out or boys out to an overnight camping trip. They want to sleep in the same tent with the girls, the boy does. Or you're taking them to an overnight event, and you're in a hotel or in a room. You're going to put boys here and girls there. And then the boy says, I want to sleep in the same room with the girl. And you can't say, well, no, that's girls, this is boys. We're going to put you in a separate room. Think about it. What you can't do legally regarding race, you can't do legally regarding any of these things. So you wouldn't be able to say, we're going to have the white and the Hispanic people over here and over there, and you have a different color skin, so you can't sleep in the same hotel room with these other four or five girls. So this means that this boy can demand sleeping with these girls, and the church, the pastor, can't object, nor can the parents. And if they say no, that violates our biblical beliefs. If they say marriage is the union of a man and a woman, and somebody says that's discriminatory, says, well, this is in the Bible. God created man and woman and brought them together for marriage. They would say that's discriminatory. You're going to be a violator. If you take those positions under this law, you will lose your tax-exempt status. And you will also, as a school, college, or university, lose, in addition to tax exemption, accreditation. What does that mean? Christian schools, universities, and colleges would not be able to have student loans. Young people would not be able to get student loans to go to an unaccredited school. When they go to an unaccredited school, they would likely have a very hard time going into graduate school because most graduate schools require graduation from an accredited undergraduate
right.
school. So they would not come to the schools. It would decimate the schools. They'd have to have men in women's sports. Right now, the world record was just broken by a man in a weightlifting competition.
Oh.
And, you know, when you're at that competitive World Olympic-type level,
right.
to break another person's world record, to come in a pound, 2 pounds, 5 pounds, 10 pounds, that's amazing. This person broke the women's weightlifting world record by about 100 pounds.
And that was the ugliest woman I've ever seen in my life.
And then here's another woman. She's a MMA fighter. Now, I'm not, you know, I don't watch or support MMA fighters. It's pretty brutal. But here's this woman. This is her sport, right? So she's in this sport. She's at the top of her game as a female competitor, MMA fighter. She gets into the ring with a man who says, I'm a woman. He hits her. She said, I've never been hit so hard in my life. It breaks her skull, cracks her orbital area. She has to have her skull put back together with 7 staples. She says, I've never been hit so hard. I'll never get in the ring with another man who says that he's a woman. Listen to this. Just this week, we got a call this week from a 20-something, early 20s, solid Christian young woman, bride-to-be. She's getting married in May. She goes to a store to shop for a wedding dress. The person says, this person will help you go in there and change. These wedding dresses are not easy to get in and out of.
Yeah.
And the mom and her sister are there for this amazing, incredible day, memorable day, shopping for her wedding dress. She's saving herself for her husband. She doesn't want to get undressed in front of a man.
Right.
She's saving herself, and she has all of her young life for her husband. And that day's coming up in May. So this just happened 2 days ago. So she's in there, and she said the Spirit just gave her an uncomfortable feeling. But this person's dressed in a tight dress, black heels, ponytail, with a mask on. So you can't really see the full face. So she has this feeling that something's wrong. And this person's undressing her, dressing her, touching her private parts as she's doing this. And she's in there with this person. And then she goes out and she talks to her mom and dad, her mom and her sister. And her sister says, don't go back in there. She says, come here, come back here. And she said, do you know that that person is a man? She said, how do you know that? I've had a funny feeling. She said, he's got a male Adam's apple. So they confronted him, and sure enough, this was a man. This was a man undressing this woman. She went home. She said, because that day, that happy day, was violated. She felt violated.
Yes.
And she went home, told her fiancé. Fiancé comes and tells the store manager, what are you doing? You've broken her trust. Why would you put my wife, my fiancé in here with a man? And the store manager says, well, he says he identifies as a woman, and we have to do that. That would be commonplace, Cheryl. That would be the law.
Yeah.
Here's another thing, one more thing. It also bans change counsel. Now, we've been litigating this ban in California when it first came out in 2012. We have young people that have, we have a young person that we represented, and we just won a big case in Florida on this issue where the city and county banned change counsel. What is change counsel? Change counsel is anybody who comes to a counselor and says, look, I'm having these struggles with unwanted same-sex attraction, or I'm engaging in these unwanted same-sex behaviors, or I'm having confusion. Am I a boy? Am I a girl? And I need help because this conflicts with my values. Can you help me? And the counselor talks through this process and helps them reach their objective. Look, counselors are like a GPS. You get in the car. GPS doesn't tell you where to go. Counselor doesn't tell you where to go. Counselor's there listening to you. You tell the GPS where you want to go. The GPS then maneuvers you through traffic and helps you get to your destination. Now, what if you got in your car, you punched in the destination, and there's only one destination, and every time you punch it in, instead of taking you to your destination, it takes you around a circle and goes back 180 degrees away from the destination. But you can never get it to reach the destination.
That's a good analogy.
And counselors are like a GPS. You go in there, they listen. What's your problem? What's your stress? These are life-saving opportunities because some of these people are on the verge of suicide. They're having these struggles.
Right.
They don't like it. Now, they go to a counselor to get help. This person said he was on the verge of suicide, but he went to a counselor and he found help. And his life was changed. We have so many that happen like that. Under this law, you cannot have that counsel anymore across the country. And it's not just for minors. It's for everybody from age 1 all the way to 99, 100 plus. And it applies not just to licensed counselors, to unlicensed counselors. So when you're sitting in a private room with your pastor and an associate pastor there, and you're sharing these struggles and you're asking for help, the pastor, Cheryl, you as a pastor, if you were to counsel that person about the power of Jesus Christ to free them.
I could be sued, too.
You would be sued by the Department of Justice of the United States of America and anybody else. And if that's your position as a pastor in a church, then you're going to lose your tax-exempt status. Not just your federal tax-exempt status, that'll also affect your state and property tax exemption as well.
Right.
This is how radical this is. This is why it's so dangerous. And this is why we created a website, lc.org, just the letter lc.org.
Yes, it's on the screen if they'll put it
right
on the
there.
Screen.
Right there, yeah, lc.org/HR5 has a lot of information. But here's what we have to have people do, because it's right now in the Senate.
Listen up. This is what we have to do.
You need to fax. We have an opportunity to fax the senators right now.
Yes, that's what we should do. Fax them all and tell them no way on HR5. And you can go to Liberty Council website, which is lc.org, and do that. Well, we're out of time, and I want to wish you a good 2 weeks, and we'll see you on the first show of the spring, March 21st, 2021. Good night, everyone, and God bless. Well, let me say it in music.